texts 30-31. The worshipper should bathe the deity every day, as opulently as his assets permit, using waters scented with sandalwood, ushira root, camphor, kumkuma, and aguru. He should also chant various Vedic hymns, such as the Anuvaka, known as Svarnagarma, Mahapurusha Vidya, Purusha Shukta, and various songs of the Samaveda, such as the Rajanya and Rohingya. Explanation. There are numerous herbs one can use to scent the Lord's bath bathing water, and these can be described in Volume 2 of this manual. Pujaris commonly put a few drops of rose water or some fragrant flower petals into the bathing water. Devotees generally chant the Purusha Shukta prayer when worshipping the Shaligram Shila. Srila Prabhupada recommended that the Pujari also chant the Brahma Samhita when bathing deities. So, you see, in the last one, and Krishna was mentioning on here, should imagine his seat, worship his seat, then the following regulations of both the Vedas and the Tantras, he should offer me water for washing the feet, for washing the mouth, argya, and other items of worship. So that's the receiving the Lord aspect. And it also includes, here he mentions the whole total worship. But also we see specifically he gives the details of the receiving the Lord. You know, so it means the first main items. Asanam swagatam padyam argyam achmaniyam. Then, Guru Parka Purnanachman. Now, this next asana, and he's talking about when he's being bathed. So this is the next situation that the Lord is in. First situation is you receive him. The second situation in which the worship is performed is the bathing. Then, the next thread, the next situation is the Alankarasana, where we worship the Lord by dressing and all these different things. Verse 32. My devotee should then lovingly decorate me with clothing, a Brahman thread, various ornaments, marks of tilak, and garlands. And he should anoint my body with fragrant oils, all in the prescribed manner. Explanation. Fragrant oils here, and in the next verse, refers specifically to gandha, or sandalwood paste mixed with various ingredients. May also include scented scents offered with cotton swabs or put in the deity's clothing. The Lord's statement that one should offer the items all in the prescribed manner, yatha uchitam, suggests that the details given in the shastra for offering items, such as the procedures for purification and the use of mantras, should be followed as far as possible, with proper understanding of the procedures, meaning. So that's also very important for the prescribed manner, because you have to remember the prescribed manner. So the prescribed manner, that is given by the Lord himself. And he gives it to us, because this is what pleases him. So if we follow the prescribed manners, he is very happy with all this. The idea of the panchatra is to please the Lord. So the Lord himself has given these prescribed systems. So he has given them to Brahma. Brahma has spoken them to Narad, and then so many other sages like this. In this way, then it comes down to us, finally to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, and then Srila Prabhupada has then given so many of these details. So this is the details that Krishna himself is speaking of in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu continues. After bathing the Lord, the Pujari may offer these items when the Lord is situated in Alankarasana, the asana for dressing. There are both large and small deities of the same personality. Is Radha Krishna Gornitaya Jagannath. While small metal deities are receiving the bath, large deities may simultaneously be dressed on the second Pujari. Since the Lord is unlimited, he can receive all kinds of worship simultaneously from innumerable devotees without difficulty. Also, it's understood that the small deities, or whoever is being bathed, they're receiving all the technical worship on behalf of the large deities that we take darshan of. So he mentions here small ladies, but can also be shaligram shila. Then you have a shaligram, the temple shaligrams being bathed. Then all the other big deities on that don't need to be bathed. They just need to be cleaned nicely with a damp cloth. And then dressed. So here that he's pointing out that those two things can go on. Here also is these fragrant oils. Means the sandalwood paste, get sandalwood oil from sandalwood. So the wood itself contains oil. So when we take the sandalwood and grind it into a paste, that's considered oil. But it's in the medium of that paste. And then you can put it on, you can decorate with it, it's considered clean. Well, if you just put oil itself straight on the body, it's considered not clean. So you see that pure oil is put on the Lord's body before dressing. I mean, before bathing. He's massaged with fragrant oils and these kind of things. Then he's bathed. Then after bathing, generally then the sandalwood paste is used. The sandalwood paste that may have, you can add additional oils to it, kumkum or other different nice things to give it other flavors, musk and aguru and all these things like that, camphor. So many ways it can be made, but specifically in the Shastra, when it talks about gandha, scent, it means sandalwood paste. Then within this, so much variety is there. You can also include other scented oils, like that they want to offer to the Lord, or like this. And that. So all that's included in there, but it's specifically meaning sandalwood paste. Then the next asana here. No, this is still well known, Kadasa. Text 33. The worshipper should faithfully present with water for washing my feet and mouth, fragrant oils, flowers, and unbroken grains, along with incense, lamps, and other offerings. So, explanation. Unbroken grains, or akshita, contains consists usually of uncooked rice mixed with either kumkum or turmeric for Vishnu deities other than Krishna, who prefers plain white rice. One gently offers akshita by tossing a pinch at a time at the deities at his feet while chanting his names, either 16 or 108 names, preceding each name with Om, followed by the name of the dative case, followed by Namaha. In Indian temples, pujaris frequently do this as a form of worship on behalf of the visitor of the temple. One can also worship the various associates of the Lord, such as those mentioned in text 29, with akshita while chanting their name. So after dressing all these different times, the mouth, the hands, the feet, the achman, in other words, he mentioned before, Parasar Kuni mentions the asman, achman can also mean Padya Margi Matyamaniyam, all three together. So anytime there's a change of situation, then these can be done. Also, these, along with unbroken grains, incense lamps, and other offerings, is that within this asana, after the bath, when he's moved from the bathing place, and when he's dressed, so that includes dressing, that includes offering flowers, garlands, offering scents, then offering lamps, offering incense, all these things happen there. So that's the next, after snan, then you have vastram, alankar, gandha pushpa, dubdi. That takes us up to now the 14th item. So those are all offered in this situation. Now, along with this, also in very elaborate worship, also grains can be offered. It says all kinds of other things. This thing called vandapanam means all auspicious items can then be offered to the Lord, shown to him. Different things, pots with ghee in them, auspicious pots, different things for looking at and invoking auspiciousness, like that. The very details of this are given in the Krishna Janma. Janmastitiviti. Is that what it's called? Janmatitiviti means on Krishna's appearance day. He goes through a very elaborate 16 items of worship with the bathing being very big, but then also afterward, this part of the Alankarasana is very elaborate also. He does I think three different offerings of showing the kalasha, showing ghee, and showing basically all the items that would be there in what's called an adivas, where various auspicious items are offered to the Lord for his pleasure to see, but just auspicious to see and look at. And also at this time, then one may do all these various items to take away bad influence from people taking darshan, and anyone who has bad feelings and all that is done. Of course, we understand that one can affect the Lord, but he gives that opportunity for us to offer those things. So that elaborate kind of detail is given there in the Dasamatitisati. So when he says, along with other offerings. Another aspect is that each of these asanas, you can do a full, basically a full 10 items for each one. You receive him with you receive him in the asana swagatam, then padya margi mashmaniyam, that receives him. Then you perform the function of the asana itself, then after that you worship him. Or in receiving him, you receive him, worship him, and then perform the function. Just like in the snanasana, you can receive him in that, then after that, worship him. Gandhapurka dup deep naivedya. Then after those are done, then you perform the worship in that asana. So it can also be looked at in that way. So when he says other things, you can do so many offerings that go with that asana. Like that. It just depends upon how elaborate one wants to be, and if it's a festival, if it's a daily puja, whether one's worshipping Shaligram or a Vaikuntha deity, or whether one is worshipping Krishna, Govardhan, Radha Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. So this will all vary how much detail one goes into these things for the various situations. Then here, because he's mentioned flowers, then we get into a large explanation of what is offerable and unofferable flowers. Krishna Kshetra Prabhu writes here, Shastra states, the Lord is more pleased with offerings of first-class flowers than with offerings of jewels and gold. Therefore, much attention should be given to procuring suitable flowers. Offerable flowers are those with sweet fragrance, especially if they are white or yellow. These are unavailable, so you may offer scentless or dark-colored flowers, but as long as they have none of the faults mentioned below. So it means in general, the Lord is more pleased with, Krishna especially is more pleased with flowers and ornaments. Though the Vishnumurtis, they like ornaments, but they very much like flowers. So we see in South, they put much more emphasis on the ornaments, while we see in Vrindavan, it's more emphasis put on flowers. Like that. Flowers, we'll see. The Hari Bhakti Vilas, it particularly glorifies the following flowers, which we have identified as far as possible with Latin or local names. Jati, jasmine. Do you want the Latin name? Yes, you want the Latin name. So.
Prabhupada used to always make such a comments about the flowers in Vrindavan, especially. You know, sometimes day after day, he would chastise the flowers.
That there were not, they were flowers?
Fresh enough and the right kind of flowers.
Yeah.
You'd almost always have something to say about the flowers.
Yeah.
But elsewhere you don't find so much.
Yeah. Flower is very dear. Also, even in pictures in that had a garland, but considered better an old garland than no garland. You know? Like that. It's like flower should always be there. That's a good point. So many devotees are told that Prabhupada would be very upset because the Vrindavan has such nice flowers. And devotees in the beginning had very great difficulty arranging. Prabhupada making this point very strongly. In Vrindavan, flowers need to be offered. Nice garlands. Now you see, some of the flowers are being offered. Okay, jati, jasmine. Like red and white lotuses. Mahati, it's also a kind of jasmine. Kadamba, mango buds. Mallika, that's not blooming jasmine. Oh, that's mallika. Double jasmine. Mahadi, chapak. Frangipani. Which one is this one he's talking about? Frangipani is also a kind of champak. So there's three kinds of champaks. There's the Golok champak, which is frangipani, which is the one that we see is five petals that opens out like this. Generally white, just a little bit of yellow in the middle, like that. Sometimes it's red.
Like an apple smell?
No, that's the green champak. The other one is what you can see, like, you know, in the samadhi, they're kind of like rubbery trees, and when you go pick them, the branches always fall off. You know? Like that. You have to be very careful when you pick them. Then you have the green champa. It's called Kachali champa. And that is, it doesn't look like a regular flower. It doesn't have the same kind of petals. When that gets ripe, turns yellow, then it's smells like kind of like apples. Then you have the Sona champa, which is golden color, kind of long. You see on the back, I think the back of the original pictures is the back of the Krishna book. Prabhupada's holding a long golden flower. And that's the Sona champa. That's said to be the color of Chaitanya and Srimati Radharani. So it's three kinds of champas. Like that. I don't know if he mentions more here. Then, Karnikara. Then, Jintika. Karavi. The Asphodita plant. Utika. A kind of jasmine also. Mandala. Patata. Bokul. Bokul is the grows on the road in the temple. The flowers fall off. It's the only tree that you can pick up the flowers off the ground. Because they're only, when they're ripe, they fall off the tree. And if they're not ripe, they don't fall off the tree. And it's very hard to go out there and pick them unless you weigh half a kilo. And you can... I'm not sure. But specifically, I know the bokul is all right. Generally, what they do is they lay a cloth on the ground, and then they fall off, and they go and gently encourage the tree with a shake. That's if it's young. If it's old and it's the trunk is 3 or 4 foot across, then maybe in 100 feet high, it might be hard to encourage it. But when they're young, then you can do that. Then till, which is sesame. The till, it's interesting because the shape of it is considered like the very transcendental nose. Radharani and Krishna have nose like that. You ever see them? They kind of come down to this and then they poke out at the end. So in other words, the transcendental nose is a bit like is the Roman nose straight or is curved? Straight. So it's where the nose is a little bit curved. It's high in the middle, but at the same time as the tip pointed back the other way a little bit. But it's very lightly little pointed. It's not like a pug nose, not like that. Very slight. You can see on the deities and that, they have like that. Then, let's see, what do we have here? Japa. It says here, China rose. Bilva. That is Baal. Baal, that's, I think, I didn't know, I don't think they make flowers. They make flowers? They make leaves, but they never make flowers. Ketaki. Kutach. Whatever that is. Pitaka. Saffron flower. Tagar. Really, tagar is saffron. That's what grows here. But tagar is interesting. If you pick it today, there's no smell. Early morning, evening. It has a very subtle scent. Any other time of the day, no smell at all. So it's a very very interesting like that. You have to pick it just very early in the morning or in the evening. Then you have, what is this? Tagar. Bimbi, wax flower. Palash. The palash I know of is jackfruit. And kumuda is white water lily. Okay. The Haribak Vilas, so naturally you can catch all those in the local towns, touch the store, and whichever country you're in. Whereas in the West, you stick to roses, and you know, a few like that. The Haribak Vilas list unofferable flowers as follows. Flowers that are torn, old, or dried up, except lotuses, champak, tulsi, augustia, and bokul. So it seems they can be torn, old, or dried up. It doesn't matter, or especially dried. Because lotuses, you find when they're old, the pollen still smells. You know, we had a lotus here the other day. It already wilted, but it had the same smell as it did when it was fresh. It didn't change the smell. The leaves became dry. Okay, rotten flowers, these are unofferable, are those infested with or eaten by the insects. Flowers that have fallen on the ground, except bokul. Bad smelling flowers. Scentless flowers, except kuch. Flowers from thorny plants, and less fragrant and lightly colored, although any color of rose is acceptable. Flower buds, except jasmine. Because the flower bud doesn't have the smell, you know, it doesn't look so good and everything, so you might as well let it open. Yeah, but I guess jasmine, especially, I like that. What's the round one? It's kind of jasmine, it's round. Bailey. Is that you always get closed. You never see it gently. It'll open with some time, but it still smells like that. Right. Then, the flowers with impure things, the hair on them. Flowers from a scented tree. Flowers, we laugh, but devotees used to go collect flowers from there in the very early days because they had no flowers. Flowers that have been touched have touched an impure object, such as a corpse. Flowers held while offering pranams. In other words, you have flowers to offer to the deities as boga. You don't offer your obeisances. Whenever you're carrying things that are to be offered, you don't offer your obeisances. You take them, put them wherever they're supposed to go, and then you offer. Or let's say you have flowers that you're going to give to somebody, right? You don't offer your obeisances and then give them to them. You give them to them, then offer obeisances. Like we see, we have flowers. We come up to Prabhupada. We throw the flowers, then offer obeisances. We don't take the flowers, offer obeisances, and then throw them. And then walk off. Right? So that principle is always there. Whenever you have boga or something to be given to someone else, you give it first, then you offer obeisances. So you never hold flowers and offer pranams with them. It means you either have someone else who can clean hold them, offer your obeisances, or you just take them, put them where they belong, and then offer your obeisances. Flowers collected with or held in the left hand. Flowers collected in the lower cloth. Which means that you have to take your lower cloth and after you pick the flowers, you put them in that place. No, they always have to be in the upper cloth. That upper cloth should be clean. Or in a special basket or pot for flowers, but that has to be clean. But because flowers are not washed, one may ask, oh, why? Because flowers aren't washed. Flowers are just sprinkled with water and purified by mantra. That's all. Because when you wash flowers, then a few problems arise. One is they get very wet and cold. Two, they don't let loose of water. They hold water. That's by their nature. There's nothing worse than having a nice, soggy, wet, dripping garland. That, you know, or a handful of wet, soggy flowers. Three, when you wash them, you also wash away the pollen and other things that make the smell. So flowers are interesting because of the smell. So if you wash away the smell, it's not very good. So these problems arise. Therefore, flowers are not washed. They're just done, the subtle prokshana is done on them, sprinkled with water and chanting a mantra. So the gross cleaning is not done. Therefore, they always have to be in a clean state. You're clean when you pick them. You pick them with your right hand. You keep them in a pure container or pure cloth, like that. You don't touch them to anything impure. You don't put them on the ground when you offer your obeisances, all these things. Flowers that have been placed on the head or ear or have been touched or have touched the lower part of the body. In other words, you don't take them and bring them behind your own ear and then have to give them to the deity. Flowers smelled by someone, flowers washed by submersion in water, thereby losing their smell and staining whatever cloth they touch. Right? Flowers picked in the hottest part of the day or at night. That means hottest part of the day or at not the hottest part of the night. It means at night the trees are asleep, so that's not the time to pick them. And in the hottest part of the day, they also lose their fragrance. The color goes, they fade. They generally open in the morning, so that's the time to pick them. They open in the morning, they open in the evening, like that. You know, so if they're open, evening opening ones, you pick them at that time. The morning opening, you pick them at that time. You know, like that. But if you pick them in the middle of the day, then you lose color and smell. Just like I mentioned, the Tagore, as soon as it's light, generally, you know, it gets the sun is up, then it doesn't have any fragrance. It seems to only have fragrance if the sun is in the morning, before the sun comes up, in the evening just after it goes down, but before dark. Once it gets dark, you shouldn't pick flowers, because the trees rest at that time. When the sun goes down, the trees go to sleep. Like that. Flowers acquired by means of breaking branches or uprooting plants. In other words, Krishna doesn't appreciate that you damage the tree to get the flower. You may think it's for his service, but he doesn't like that. One is the tree gets upset, so that may affect the flowers. And two is that the tree's service is giving these flowers, so that doesn't mean you can break the branches while you're getting them. You have to be able to do that without, you know, just like a devotee cooks a nice lunch offering, but then you break his arm, you know, in getting the offering and all that. And then the Lord is supposed to be very pleased that you broke the cook's arm, you know. Yes. Well, you know, I had to get it for Krishna, you know, like that. And, you know, it's for Krishna for you. Like that, so one should avoid. Plus, the only place that you break is the place where all the flowers are. So when you break that part, you don't get any more flowers. Not until it again sends out new shoots, and again forms new buds. So many times flowers come in bunches. So there's a whole bunch, but only a few of them have opened. So if you break the branch getting those flowers, that means you picked one or two flowers, but when you broke that branch, then so many buds that got get destroyed. And Krishna's not into buds unless they open. You know, unless they're open. So you have to be very careful. Sometimes the vases may have the buds if they're the kind that open, but sitting in the vase. I've seen that in the West, you have these things called, I think, Frisians or something like that. You pick it's one stick, and on one stick there's many buds. One after another. It's a very strange kind of thing. You know, it's like a whole line of them. And the first one open, and then, you know, then the next one opens, and the next one, and the next. You just keep in water, and for days it'll just one after another open. But unless it's that kind of flower, then there's no meaning to picking the bud. The bud has no smell, and it won't open. like that. So if you break the branch, then all those flowers that could have been offered now aren't, can't be offered. So instead of offering 10, you offer 2, and you think you're very clever for, you know, we got the flowers. And so what? We broke a few. It's all for Krishna Prabhu. Like that. So we have to be very. Yeah. Does that make sense? Like that. Or by uprooting plants. That's pretty obvious. When you uproot the plant, and it doesn't produce any more flowers, and it doesn't live a whole lot longer after that. So. Should. In other words, one should use gentle methods. Flowers are nice because they're gentle. You know, they're soft, fragrant, fine, refined. So our methods of collecting them should also be in the same way. Then Krishna doesn't like arca flowers. I'm not sure what those are. It says here, Dashtura. I think it's known commonly is Datura. So he's not into Datura. It's, yeah, it's a kind of heavy poison. It's kind of like makes LSD looks all time. Also, one we should not use stolen flowers or flowers that have been perfumed with oil or another agent.
Hmm. In the LA temple. Hmm. I don't know if it's because they don't grow any fragrance flowers. Hmm. All other flowers they put fragrance in.
That's another thing. If you have nothing else, you know, here we're talking about India where you can get a few things. If you can't absolutely get anything else, it's a place where you live is so sinful, none of the flowers have any fragrance, this and that, then you might have to spray them with something. You know, but it's, you know, you're doing the best you can. If you can get flowers with fragrance, then that's what you got.
Similarly, not to hold flowers in the left hand. When you push punchy, where should you hold those flowers that you...
Oh, this is a good question. I guess you should hold them in your upper cloth. It's an interesting point. Yeah. Put them in your pocket. That may be a serious reason.
But that is it.
Well, he didn't mention it here as any flowers that are like first class, or didn't mention it as any of the ones that are to be avoided. It says here, rotten. Oh, bad smelling flowers. So no Venus flytraps. You know, probably no, what do you call it? There's no durian flowers. don't be happy, you don't know what a durian is. Yes.
Just one question about flowers, but seeing on the topic. Remember someone, a devotee, telling me in England that when Prabhupada said that when you offer a flower on the altar, in the morning it's on the altar, and in the evening the soul is in Kuntha. Is this true? I remember just wondering what I was really...
The soul of the flower.
Yeah, I can understand.
Maybe, why not?
And then, so that's the same problem. Got me wondering, as in, so what about the tree, you know, and...
Well, this would be, I guess, flowers that the tree only produces one. Either that, or now it's transcendental pure devotee, and it just stays back just to purify everyone else, giving transcendental flowers. But the point being is, see, here is... This is also part of the thing of where we're not the duper and all these things, that we have to see ourselves as servants, is that it's also part of our service, part of the preaching and part of our dealings, is that we take great care that, say, a bush is producing flowers, that we pick those, that we don't let any of them get wasted, because that is the service of that plant. You know, so they get offered properly, we don't waste them, because that plant makes spiritual advancement. Like this goes back to Godhead, or like this, because they've offered their flowers to Krishna. So whatever comes to be given to Krishna, that has to be given to Krishna, has to go to Krishna. If it doesn't go to Krishna, then that's not good. Then we're not actually properly preaching. You know? So then all these grains, all these flowers, all these different things that get offered to Krishna, all those different living entities that have produced them, then they get spiritual benefit. So like you offer sugar to Krishna, so that sugar cane tree that you got the sugar was got from, to make spiritual advancement. So like that, it's the power of devotional service is not actually well understood. You know? So it's like how many living entities get benefited? It's quite a few. You know, we're all chanting Hare Krishna in the temple, and there's so many flies and bugs and stuff like that. You know, it's like what happens? You know, germs. And they all hear, and they all get benefited. So devotional service is doing them, is a lot is happening. You know, a lot of living entities are becoming purified and benefited. Specifically, we're aiming at the humans because they can take full advantage, but all the other living entities are also being benefited. Well, specifically would be ones that have been offered to, you know, the wreaths and the flowers offered, you know, either there's been a funeral or, you know, family members are coming and making offerings of flowers. Those ones are specifically avoided. Now, also I would probably be very wary of flowers that have sprouted out of this mound where somebody was buried also. You know, like that. You know? So saying when somebody dies and they're pushing up daisies, you know, like that. Like from underground, you push them up. Like that. So, I mean, if in a cemetery they may have some side place, some park or something, because some of them have like that, and there's some flowers growing there. But I would, in general, kind of avoid those areas. Anyway, because those areas, unclean people are going, unclean consciousness is there, wherever the cemeteries where bodies would be buried, ghosts always hang out. And that's why in the Vedic culture, then bodies are burned. Because if you bury the body, then the ghosts hang around. If you burn, then there's nothing to hang around for much. Like that. So it's not a clean place. Okay. And then the last asana. Well, not the last. Yeah, here the bhojasana, where the Lord eats. Text 34. Within his means, the devotee should arrange to offer me sugar candy, sweet rice, ghee, shashkulti, rice flour cakes, apupa, various sweet cakes, modaka, steamed rice flour dumplings filled with sweet coconut and sugar, some yava, wheat cakes made with ghee and milk and covered with sugar and spices. Some yava, it also, they mean, instead of wheat, they mean barley. Like that. Yo yogurt, vegetable soups, and other palatable foods. And here, vegetable soups can also mean just liquidy vegetables when you cook. It doesn't necessarily mean it. Minestrone, or you know, I say, what's it? Minestrone, or what's it? I can't remember what the beans are called. Pasta fagioli, or things like that. It doesn't mean it's always called necessarily. Explanation. As described in Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhogartam song, Krishna and his cowherd friends enjoy a great variety of foods, which Srimati Radharani and her associates, then relish as prasad. In Gaudiya Vaishnava temples, generally one plate of food is offered to Krishna, which is then offered as Krishna's prasad to Radharani. However, Srila Prabhupada has specified that separate plates can be offered simultaneously to Radha, Krishna, and Radharani. When offered separate plates, the Pujari should understand that Radharani is offering her plate first to Krishna, and that she is eating only after the Lord has completed his meal. An alternative to offering two separate plates is to offer one very large plate with as opulent an offering as possible. In any case, whether offering one or many plates, the devotee doing the offering should understand he is presenting everything to his own spiritual master, who will offer the bhava through the Guru Parampara to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and their associates. Therefore, when offering bhoga, we can chant pranam mantras to the spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna, praying that they will accept our insignificant offering. So we see here that the Lord's it's mentioning, notice it's mentioning all sweets first. The sweets done with grains, sugar, milk, all these different things are being offered. So that is offered in the Bhojasana. Then after that, text 35, on special occasions and daily if possible, the deity should be massaged with ointment, shown a mirror, offered a eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, bathed with the five kinds of nectar, offered all kinds of opulent foods, and entertained with singing and dancing. So, means if, so here he's going through the different, also the different asanas here. Is on special occasions, specifically, and on daily, if possible, then when you're doing the bathing, before the bathing, massage him with oil. Then should be shown a mirror, you know, after he's dressed. You know, other times can be offered also after he brushes his teeth and washes his face, then that's before the bath. Then offer the eucalyptus stick for brushing his teeth, like that. The Lord likes to brush his teeth with a twig. That, then bathed with five kinds of nectar is panchamrita. That can be done at least on special occasions, if not every day. Or at least for the shaligram, he can be bathed with panchamrita every day. Then offered all kinds of opulent foods. At least on a special day, there should be a very nice offering. But if not, then at least on every day is possible, but if not, at least on the festival days. And entertained with singing and dancing. There should always be kirtan and night dancing, and these kinds of things, bhajans and all these things. So those should be done. Yes. Then in the purport to this verse, Srila Sridhar Swami recommends a Ekadasi as an appropriate day for performing special worship of the deity. That means if you can't do these things every day, then at least on that Ekadasi is a good day to pick as a special day. It can either be the appearance days of the Lord, the disappearance days of the Acharyas, then or on, you know, Ekadasis like that. So it's regularly done, but, you know, only occasionally. Occasionally regularly done. So like that. So twice a month, you know, or whenever a festival, these kind of things. Mm-hmm. It's not Sakshi. If it is, let me know real quick.
Or maybe Bhakti. Maybe Bhakti.
He also points out Krishna Kshetra, the ointment mentioned this verse sizing those of that specific happens like sesame paste, because that's considered a very high class thing to, instead of just plain oil that you rub the Lord's body before the Abhishek, you use sesame paste. Sesame seeds, you take white sesame seeds and grind them into a paste. That oil, that you use, because it's got oil in it, but it's not just straight oil, it has sesame also. So that acts as like a cleaning agent. So it's oily, so it's good for the skin. At the same time as the seeds of the husks, of the, I mean not the husk, but the covers of the seeds of the sesame, when you rub, then it cleans. It actually like polishes, you know, it scrubs. It's like using, putting simultaneously oil, soap, and scrubber all at once. So it's very, very, works very, very nice. So it's considered one of the class ointments you're offering. So in Janmasthami Tithi Vidhi, that is the ointment that's used for bathing the deity. Okay. So that takes care of the main asanas, or the main situations in which the Lord is worshipped. So tomorrow then we'll get into the concluding activities, what happens after this main worship. So Krishna's already given a summary synopsis of that, and now he'll get into more detail. So more questions on these various asanas?
Can you use neem twigs as well?
Yes, neem twig. Like in the West, you cut this, becomes very nice because you don't get neem. So if Prabhupada was in India, he used neem. When he was in the West, he used eucalyptus to brush his teeth. So in Prabhupada, he would always use neem twigs. That's the copy. Okay. Then we'll end here, and then tomorrow we'll continue. Text 36. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.